All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 49. I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another episode. I know I'm a day late, you know, but I've been grinding, man. I had to come back and drop an episode for y'all. Doing something a little bit different today, man. I want to put a little spotlight on Icon Fighting Federation. Actually went back and watched the card from this past Friday, Icon Fighting Federation 5. You know, had it in my schedule to watch, had it in my list to watch, but I just been busy. I wanted to watch this one because it had a four women's fights on the card, and I just kind of want to put a shot on these fights and this card, and kind of go back and recap each fight for y'all, you know, because these ladies, they're on the come up, they're fighters to watch out for. You know, you got some experienced fighters on there, you know, got Kayla Hirako versus Emily King, that was a good fight. Then you got some other fighters in here just making their debut, so I just want to go back on each fight, kind of break them down, do my post-fight analysis here, and just kind of recommend the fight card as a whole, because I thought as a whole the card was good. You know, I thought it was a good, solid card. These fights here in this Icon Fighting Federation actually took place in a boxing ring. You know, so it makes the texture and the rhythm of the fight a little bit different. You know, you don't have the support of the cage. You got to worry about the ropes falling out of the ring. So, you know, that's a little bit different for the fighters. You know, I think it kind of sets a different pace sometimes, you know, when you have to fight like a kickboxing ring or a boxing ring versus the cage. But overall, the fights were good. You know, we had some submissions, some decisions, little striking, little grappling, a little bit of everything in this card from all these women. But yeah, the first fight I wanted to cover, first up, Alexandra Belew versus Griffin Risk. Griffin Risk, she was able to go in there, make a big statement, win her debut via first round rear naked choke over Alexandra Belew, who had been out of the octagon for about a 2-year layoff because of a knee injury. So yeah, you know, she had to shake that rust off and get back in there. And man, you know, she just came up short against Griffin Risk. You know, Griffin Risk went in there, made a big statement with her grappling skills. Right away from the jump, she closed the distance, went in for the body lock. She wanted to grapple right away. She got the back of Belew and wrestled her to the corner of the ring. She put that pressure on Belew, and she climbed up Belew. You know, she climbed on her back while she was still standing. You know, she just locked that right arm up under the neck, and she just started squeezing. Like, Belew was trying her best to fight, but she couldn't get the hands free. You know, she wasn't really doing a good job of controlling the wrist or fighting the hand. So right away, Risk started getting that choke on her, and you could see her getting choked. Like, the face started turning red, and I could hear Pearl Gonzalez commentating. She said, you know, she's trying to fight it, but, you know, she could see her breath. You know, she was really starting to hold her breath, and Risk fell back with her. You know, she fell on her back, still locked in, and Belew was out. As soon as she released it, she was out. The referee just up. He didn't even have to call. There was no tap. Belew was out for a few seconds. She was on top of Risk. You know, it looked a little scary at first, you know, like she was just passed out, but she was able to get back up after a few seconds. She was okay. But yeah, man, it was just one of those early attacks, you know, where Risk, she got her in the position right away. She got Belew in that position right away. And that body lock, she just flipped to the back in the corner. And like I said, just climbed, and, you know, she just locked in that rear naked choke. And, you know, you just got to really try to fight to control those risks before that arm gets locked in. But yeah, man, good debut for Risk, and hopefully Belew, you know, she can bounce back from this one, you know, just kind of polish herself up, you know, because I know she had the rust on her. But, you know, good solid win for Risk, though. And can't take away from that. All right, next fight, Macy Brooks versus Shauna Orbison. This was another catch weight fight. Another good debut for Macy Brooks here. You know, she scores a first round TKO with Shauna Ormsby. If I remember correctly, I think this was another stand-in opponent for Macy. I think her original opponent had to pull out. I don't know why, but yeah, they had to put Shauna Orsby in there. But yeah, man, another quick fight. Macy goes right in for a body lock, similar to the first fight, goes in that body lock and takedown, gets the back of Shauna and just transitions nicely to a side mount, and she just starts working the ground and pound, man. Macy's just working, dropping strikes and elbows. Shauna really looks to be struggling in this side position. She really resorted just to keeping her hands up, you know, like keeping that high guard, trying to weather that storm on her back. You know, she's taking a fair amount of shots, but, you know, some shots are being blocked. So Macy just goes full mount, unloads ground and pound. She just unloading vicious ground and pound, and Shauna's just blocking. You know, she's trying to buck. I will give her that. Like, she's deflecting shots and she's bucking, trying to get her off. But, you know, Macy's size and her strength is really, you know, just pinned down. She's locked in. She's got the legs locked in. Shauna's just on her back, looking really lost here at this point, kind of similar to Shanna Dobson against Casey O'Neill. But I got to say, Macy Brooks, her ground and pound looked much better. Her ground and pound looked a lot better. And I say she started landing some big shots towards the end of the round that were doing damage. About 20 seconds left in the round, I thought she was going to weather it out. But the referee, he just stepped in because I think just too many unanswered right hands were breaking through the guard. So he was like, you know, we got to stop this one. Another quick one. Macy came in there. I think she about 118. So they had to put, I think it was a strawweight fight, but they had to push it to a catchweight fight. Might have had to do with the late replacement. I don't know if, you know, she thought her fight was going to be canceled or what. But it was a good debut win for Macy Brooks. You know, shout out to Macy. You know, I shot her a message, told her congratulations. Because I just like the hunger she showed. You know, they just kind of gave her backstory as well and how she's, you know, had a baby at a young age and now she's a business owner, you know. So, yeah, just following these backstories, too, it just makes it interesting, you know, sometimes to see why fighters fight. You know, that's another thing that makes MMA and boxing interesting, you know, why fighters have to fight, what gives them a flame to fight. But, yeah, shout out to Macy Brooks for going in there and making a big statement. So next up, I think, man, this fight was actually my favorite fight on the card. I think it was my favorite fight. I got to go back and look because I like that Emily King. I like the last fight on here I'm going to talk about. But Valerie Wong versus Isis Verbeek. Both ladies were coming here 0-1. And this was probably my favorite fight of the night. I probably have to say it is my favorite fight. You know, I like the matchup with striker versus grappler. You know, and I feel like Verbeek, she really showcased great striking against a solid grappler, very physically strong grappler in Valerie Wong. But she also showcases some good ground game. You know, she showcases some good ground game and well-roundedness in this fight. You know, I think she's come a long way, you know, from what people thought, you know, her coming in at 0-1. And she really just showcased a very, very solid arsenal in this fight. Like right away, let's go back and look at the first round. Valerie Wong, she goes straight in for a clinch and a takedown, and she gets the top position. But Verbeek, you know, she's not helpless on her back. And this is why I like to see fighters that can fight on their back. You know, she's controlling more than Wong off of her back, trying to switch to a half guard. You know, she's controlling Wong's thigh, trying to keep that half guard. You know, she's keeping her from going to a full guard. But then quickly, she has this burst, and she just rolls Wong over, gets on top in a full guard, and she's on top. You know, Verbeek is landing some nice elbows in close and she's staying in the chest to avoid the triangle. So I like what I'm seeing here from Verbeek. You know, Verbeek is actually in there, you know, pressing her face and, you know, pressing her head in and she's mauling. You know, she's doing a good job of just mauling in close, landing good strikes, though, effective strikes. You know, Wong, she's still trying to get off her shots off her back as well. But I like these elbows. So I had to give that edge, give the round to Verbeek. Second round. This was a nice striking round for Verbeek. You know, she was alternating between good jabs, landing big knees to Wong's body in the clinch to get that distance that she wanted. Nice 1-2s down the pipe. Anytime Wong tried to overstep her boundaries and step in, she would land that knee to the body, go right back to measuring the distance. Verbeek was just adding in some nice left hooks as well after her knees for good measure. But it was just the 1-2 that was really slowing down Wong's takedown attempts. You know, maybe I would say between like, I would say probably like the first three rounds were just like good striking. But then like maybe 2 minutes left in the round, Wong secures a well-timed takedown. Like she catches a kick, gets a takedown. She tries for that full mount. But once again, man, Verbeek, she does well on the bottom, pulls Wong in close. She pulls Wong's face in close to avoid the ground and pound. And Wong, she did some nice work in this round. But I really feel like overall, once again, Verbeek controlled it with the striking and she controlled off of her back, you know, by pulling Wong's head in close. Wong had to give her credit for that takedown, that timing of the takedown, but she just really wasn't able to get anything done, even on the feet. Last round, I'm gonna be honest, it was 3 minutes of another striking clinic, jabs and leg kicks from Verbeek. You know, Verbeek was just giving some nice angles to Wong, making it difficult for her to move in for a takedown, just the way she was able to move and pot shot. Verbeek throwing those nice jabs so fluidly, switching levels to frustrate Wong. Finally, Wong closes in for a clinch. And it looks like Verbeek was trying to counter that takedown, but she falls on her back. She falls back on Wong, and Wong's in that full guard. And Verbeek, she controls again. You know, she switches. She's on top, and she's in mauling mode. So Wong is the grappler here, but Verbeek, she's actually switching it up. She's on top, and she's in mauling mode. You know, she's just taking over, dominating on the feet. and dominating the grappling. I had it 30-27. You know, I feel Wong was tough. You know, she was physically strong. You know, she had some good timing moments in there, but I feel like Verbeek just overall controlled it. You know, I feel like Verbeek had some scary moments in there. Like if she would, I'd say if she was more of just a striker and didn't really have a grappling background as well, it would have been scary. But Verbeek, she had enough tools to win the ground control as well. And her striking was just levels above Wong. So yeah, nice work by Verbeek. I'm a fan. You know, they both came in here 0-1. She earned her first victory. And yeah, she's been working with ATT lately. You know, that's really been showing the growth in her as a fighter. But yeah, like I said, I'm a fan, definitely a fan of her striking. And, you know, I'm loving these well-rounded fighters, man. But last fight, Emily King, as y'all know, Emily King came from Bellator. She's 4-4. Kayla Hirako, 3-2. This was a strawweight fight. This was a good one, man. That's what I'm saying. It was pretty close. King was able to go in here, make this fight very competitive. Hirako, she was really working the angles, working some good striking here. I'm a fan of her boxing style. Very big fan of her style, man. King, she was able to win the unanimous decision in this fight. I honestly felt like Hirako did enough to win, but I think the MMA judges, you know, they're still not really scoring good footwork and movement. They want aggression. Even if you are landing effective strikes, even if you are punching and striking off the back foot, I think a lot of MMA judges want you to come forward. They don't really score like working off the back foot, which kind of sucks. You know, they need to really start looking at that type of work, because I feel like Hirako was doing the better work. I felt like after the first round, Hirako really settled into her rhythm and was striking nicely and boxing nicely. And of course, there was a little scare in round three, which I'll get to here in a minute. But I think that might have been enough to persuade the judges. But to me, I feel like Hirako did enough to win round two and three, which I'll break down here in a minute. First round, Emily King, her long frame and her awkward pressure. She's definitely presenting some issues with those long front kicks and side kicks. You know, she was landing some good shots on Hirako, but I think that Hirako was landing the better punches. You know, she was landing some nice strikes, and, you know, it's kind of some back and forth action here. I think she was establishing a nice right hand to the body, but she just couldn't get that respect from King. You know, King can take a punch. You know, she'll come forward to get her punches off. She'll take a punch. She'll come forward smiling. And, you know, she'll just keep coming in, throwing those long kicks, just using that wiry frame to her advantage. You know, she's a tough fighter. You know, she will stand and bang until somebody can drop her. You know, that's why you got to land with authority. Hirako, you know, she was pot-shotting a lot, landing some good shots. But, yeah, a lot of those kicks were getting through, you know, some to the face, some to the body of Hirako. Hirako got in a couple of takedowns here, but I think that the round was close and the effective striking and effective kicks came from King. So I had to give Emily King the first round. Now, the second round, to me, Kayla Hirako showed some nice footwork, beautiful footwork. It was doing well with that nice right hand to the body, beautiful straight right hand to the body, just stepping to the left away from the power zone of Emily King. Then she started adding in a nice left hook with the right hand. You know, she would land that right hand, step over to the side, land a hook, step out at an angle, just doing a good job of boxing and striking from the outside. I mean, even though she was the shorter fighter, she was really able to time her attacks, step in and out of the taller fighter, and also avoid the takedown attempts from King. So I had to give Hirako the second round, just all around good boxing. And again, I'm really impressed with the shorter fighter just being able to step in and out of the range of the taller fighter and get off, you know, good body shots, good combinations, good overhand rights over top. So good striking clinic to me from Hirako in that second round. The third round, this one was tough. I ain't gonna lie, this one was tough. Hirako, you know, she was committed to her angles, sticking and moving every now and then. She would get caught with a combo or a side kick from King, but I thought that Hirako was landing much better strikes, still going to the body nicely, using a lot of movement, staying on the outside, out of danger. Now, I like that work from the outside, you know, overhand rights upstairs. But the thing is, like I said, I think the judges are just looking at pressure. So they're looking at King alone just coming forward and not the work of Hirako, not the skill of Hirako adding angles and counterpunch, you know. So there was a lot of back and forth action there. But like I said, effective strikes to me with Hirako. I had her controlling the round all the way up into that end of the round where Hirako was slipping some punches and she gets caught with a head kick. She gets caught with that head kick. She gets dropped. She survives that knockdown. and that rear naked choke attempt from King, because King jumps on her when she's down and she tries to go in for that rear naked choke, but she makes it out the bell. So Rocco, she's saved by the bell. But at the end of that bell, I was kind of like, okay, I think the judges, they might give this round to Emily King, because sometimes it's like MMA judges, they can't make up their mind. Like, a knockdown doesn't count as much as sometimes, but sometimes it will count and it'll cancel out the dominance or performance or effective strikes of a fighter, you know, for the majority of a 3 to 4 minute round. Like, you could dominate for 3 or 4 minutes, but if you get dropped, they'll like cancel everything out you did. And that's kind of what I feel like they were doing in this round, because I thought that Rocco did a good job of controlling the fight, you know, the third round and the second round. You know, I thought she was much more active. She was on the back foot, staying away from danger. And like I said, it wasn't really until that head kick landed that we could say, oh, she was in danger, but she survived. You know, she survived the rear naked choke attempt. And just overall good combinations and head movement, good boxing, you know. So overall, I had it 2-1, but they gave the unanimous decision. I think it was, 2-1 for Emily King. Like I say, don't leave it in the hands of the judges, man. You can't leave it in the hands of the judges. But overall, it was a good fight. You know, King, she's a strong, durable fighter, and, you know, she loves to bang. And I gotta like her heart. You know, she's always smiling. She comes in there to fight. And I like that. You know, I do like that about her. But style-wise, I really like Rocco's performance. You know, I think she's a very good striker. I think the more and more she polishes herself up, you know, she'll be a force. So, you know, definitely want to see her back. You know, the striking and the movement was similar to Rose Namajunas in there. You know, she was very athletic, very agile, very quick to turn and avoid takedowns, and just getting off good strikes. You know, she had good timing in there. So to me, I feel like that was impressive to me. I feel like that work was very, very impressive. And I gave it a fight. I gave it a fight. Shout out to Kayla Rocco, but sometimes you just got to look for those finishes. But yeah, man, overall it was a good card. It was a good card. You know, I watched the men's fights as well too, but I just want to give a shine to the women on here. You know, they have four women fights on this card. And I just wanted to kind of recommend this Icon Fighting Federation to my followers and subscribers. So yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got on this episode. Just wanted to go back and recap those four fights. Once again, we had Alexandra Belou versus Griffin Risk. Griffin Risk scores the first round rear naked choke over Belou. And then we had Macy Brooks score a first round TKO over Shauna Ormsby. And Isis Verbeek gets a unanimous decision over Valerie Wong. Good fight, probably my fight of the night. And Emily King gets her unanimous decision over Kayla Hiraco. So yeah, check those fights out. They're on the UFC Fight Pass card. I'm definitely looking forward to the next card from Icon Fighting Federation. But yeah, man, that's all I got, guys. Like I said, just want to go back and visit that one, man, because there's just so many fights sometimes. Like, if I can't do a post-fight analysis, like right after a fight or the day after, I will start doing them on podcast episodes, or I'll just do them somewhere down the line, you know, just somewhere down the line as recommendations for y'all to watch, you know? So yeah, man, that's all I got, guys. Like always, you know, make sure y'all follow me here, my Instagrams, ComboBreaker99, All Box and Everything. Subscribe here to the channel, you know, definitely subscribe here to the channel, but the website is coming for the episodes, going to be on more social media, platforms, podcast platforms, excuse me. But yeah, definitely check these fights out. Again, shout out to the ladies. Definitely keep an eye on these ladies on the come up. Once again, I am Combo Breaker 99. I am out. Subscribe. Peace.